Leo?
I'm doing well as well, and I'm so happy to have seen your talk because the interaction with Emacs is always something that I find very interesting. And stuff like Transient, stuff like Hydra before, I think they really improve the experience, the user experience of users. And I'm really glad that I've seen you talk. Perhaps just starting with the first question, do you have anything else that you'd like to add on your talk? Because we are pretty stringent with the amount of time that we give for talks, but is there anything that you would have liked to mention to people that you weren't able to fit into the talk?
I think probably one of the design considerations I've done is that many of the commands that I've exposed through my casual interfaces are have been in Emacs. They've been in there forever, but very few people, myself included, really know that they're there because they're just not discoverable through basically the existing mechanisms, prior to transient and which key to even know that those functions are there.
Yeah. So I think you are. I'm gonna start asking you questions whilst people start writing them in a pad. But yeah, I also think that discoverability is a very huge point that having stuff like the stuff that you've showed today actually allows. One example that I'd like to give that many people tend to forget, and you've already mentioned Megit in your presentation, is that I've learned so much about using Git in general thanks to Megit for the reason that it shows you so many options that you might not be aware of, for instance. Like, I like to really think about when you think about logging in Git, Megit allows you to discover so many of the finer options, like, oh, I only want to see the first commit since the merge, or oh, I only want to consider this subsection of commits going from master or main to the point of your branch. So many things like this that you get to discover thanks to Transient. So, do you have any similar experience on your end?
Far too many. I think particularly with EditKit, having access to these commands, particularly with different granularity on like S expressions, sentences, words, probably the most surprising thing I found was just how compelling the S expression would be as a unit of text for working with. I found that
Yeah.
in most contexts or in many places, it did the what I wanted, right? And I found that to be very surprising.
Yeah. So, unless you've got anything else to add, I think we can just jump into questions.
Okay, certainly.
I'll be reading them for you so that it's easier for you. So the first question is, I wonder whether casual can only be used with the packages you mentioned, or whether it can be used with whatever packages you like.
I think it's really the latter. I'm not quite sure what the question was really pointing at. Is the question asking for why I chose the packages or the different modes that I did, or is it are they looking at it from a developer perspective of can we integrate casual with other packages?
I mean, since we've got a little bit of time ahead of us, feel free to answer both questions.
I think the answer is for the first one, I've generally tried to stick with using the modes that are already packaged in. And so there was a big refactoring of it where initially I made separate repos for the different modes that I supported, and then through a discussion which I won't go into here, that got changed where I consolidated all of like the different transient menus for modes that are built in for behavior that's built into Emacs. I put that into a single package called Casual, and then integrations with other third-party packages that are not built in were given their same the same standalone repo here. In terms of folks wanting to integrate that, it's the beauty of open source. They can get the repo and basically study the code base. Actually, if they even install it through the package manager, in this case, coming from the Melpa distribution, they can inspect that code and make modifications or even integrate that with their other packages and do that to their heart's content. I think one of the things that I need to, or at least that I plan on sort of elaborating further on in the documentation is that Transient already has built-in mechanisms for modifying an existing Transient. So you can add commands or redefine the bindings. And so that mechanism is available for users if they're not happy with those bindings or they
Okay,
want to add
thanks.
their own commands to a menu.
Yeah, and people are I'm personally familiar with this again with MeGit, because it sometimes, even though you have a lot of discoverability for functions that you may not know, sometimes you also happen to realize that something is missing in the list of available options. I'm not sure if Casual actually supports something similar to MeGit, which is levels of options being displayed. Actually, I'm not sure if it's transient native or if it's just something that MeGit adds over this, but
No,
basically,
Transient supports levels. I've decided in large part, I've tried to avoid that just to avoid the added complexity of trying to define those levels.
I was going to say that perhaps it doesn't gel very well with the notion of casualness that you seem to be introducing the package. On one end, you've got something that is supposed to be very casual, very easy to use, and on the other end, you add levels for stuff that is fairly advanced. So advanced versus casual kind of makes sense that you chug this over. All right. Moving to the second question, which is related to the previous one. Are there any patterns emerging such that it would be impossible, sorry, such that it would be possible to one, systematize and to automate the mapping of mode commands to keyboard-driven menus, possibly even have an auto-casual wrapper for an uncovered mode? Does that make sense to you?
Yes, and I've gotten these comments from a number of different folks who really want to see some sort of sort of design rule to or basically what is it some sort of design system to be able to generate the UI. Conceptually, I think it's doable, but on the flip side, it just requires so much coordination that it makes it really untenable. I'm in this case, I have very strong opinions. I think we're better off trying to handcraft the user interface to get basically the best user experience. To try to emulate that with a design system, good luck, but I'm not interested in working on that.
Right, yeah. I think if I try to think a little more about this, it feels like there's a notion of intention that is very important when you are designing UI and UX. And to have this intention, it feels like you cannot just base yourself off a design idea to organize the options. You cannot just work off a pattern. I think you need to have the trace of human understanding in order to have a UX that really works. And judging by the option that you've picked in the demos that you've showed today, I don't think it'd be particularly easy to organize them in a UX just casually for any mode. I think you need some human introspection to understand this, if that makes sense. Moving to the next question, which is related to something we discussed about with MeGit. Does Casual have a log where you can see what commands were invoked? This is always available via MetaXView Lossage or via the common log mode. But I'm wondering if it can do for Emacs command what MeGit process buffer does for learning git commands. And for everyone who's currently in Emacs, whenever you're running a command in MeGit, it's always printing the exact command that was run in a shell inside this dollar sign menu. So does Casual actually provide something similar, Charles?
I don't know. In general, because I'm building off of Transient, it would have to be a mechanism that's available through Transient. And I would let Jonas speak more on that capability because, to be honest, I mean, even to my knowledge of transient is not that deep, actually, you know?
Well, it's funny that you say this, because even though you say your knowledge might not be that big, you still managed to develop a whole suite of tools on top of it. So as far as people who do not know transient a whole lot, you're doing a pretty damn good job, let me tell you that much.
Thank you. Yeah, I think sort of what I bring to the table is, you know, quite a considerable career in software development on other software ecosystems. And, you know, as of late, you know, I've spent basically the past decade working on iOS apps. So,
yeah. Right. I think it's refreshing to be able to go back to something that looks like Emacs after iOS.
Somewhat. Well, that's perhaps another longer conversation there.
Right. And speaking of longer conversation, we have only about 10 minutes left until we need to move on to the next talk. But thank you, everyone, for all the questions you're asking. I'm not saying this because we finished, but just it's good to see so many people writing in the chat and asking questions. It always shows that you're interested, and that's always lovely to us. And you've mentioned Jonas. Obviously, we're talking about Jonas Bernoulli, i.e. Tarsius, the maintainer of Transient, and what Charles just mentioned about having a transient tooling to print the lossage, basically, of which secs were run by which command. Feels like this is something that would be interesting. So perhaps, I'm not sure if Tarsius is still on the chat currently, but he was definitely around earlier today. So we'll make sure that the ID lands on his lap later on. All right, moving to the next question. Is there a setting to close menu after executing a command?
By default, it will. There's a slot that you can define in a transient prefix called colon transient. And right. If you set that to true, then it will persist the menu after executing the command. But by default, it will actually dismiss the menu.
Hmm. This feels, did you actually get to play with Hydra before playing with Transient?
To be honest, no. I kind of slept on Hydra, or at least, you know, I really wasn't all that ambitious with working with different packages until about like a little less than 2 years ago or so.
And, yeah, that's what you mentioned.
And then the other part was also, you know, not really a technical sort of comparison, because I really don't want to upset folks here, but more along the lines of just going with the notion that Transient was being built in or packaged as a built-in package for Emacs. I went with using that for my implementation.
Sure. And I don't think there's anything controversial with what you're saying right now, because you know, we had earlier today Igor Rachenko, the new maintainer of Augment, mentioning that he'd like to have a better integration with Transient, because Transient looks like it's here to stay for a long time and might even land in core at some point. So it definitely feels comparing Hydra, because for me, most of my UI needs in Emacs prior to Transient were done via Hydra, because it was a very convenient tooling. And for people who do not know, Hydra is written by Abo Abo, who's also authored packages like Lispy, an interactive list mode, also for Ivy, which you might know as the counterpart of Helm at the maybe 5 years ago. So all those packages, they were very innovative for the time. And it's cool to see that some of the ideas which were introduced by Ivy and Helm and all this are then taken by tools like Transient and done perhaps with a little more hindsight now that people have experienced a little more of it. Okay, we have still a little bit of time. Moving on to the next question. What modes are you working on at the moment for casual, or are you excited to explore?
Well, so I just recently published one for calendar. And so I think the calendar interface has a lot of really interesting behavior, particularly its support for non-Gregorian events, which is, you know, for folks who like, in my case, looking at the lunar calendar, right. It's great to have tooling to be able to not have to leave Emacs to figure out when a lunar date is. Yeah. Then I think, you know, for the most part, my work on casual was really kind of my summer of code for Emacs here. And so in many ways, the velocity that I've of casual development is going to slow down, where I've got a big bulk of the modes that I really wanted to take care of. I think one experimental thing that I think is very unbaked, but I would, you know, if folks are interested, maybe looking at it, is taking a look at eDebug and trying to make that an easier thing to do.
That is ambitious.
Yeah, so maybe too ambitious. other things are like really scary projects, and so not to say that I really have a desire to do it, but another one would be EDIF, right?
Okay. And
relitigating its interface to have a transient menu, but I say these things, but I'm also scared of those things.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lovely way to tackle the project, really, because you are fully aware that eDebug and eDiffs are mastodons when it comes to Emacs. They work very well. If you've ever tried to do a conflict resolution in Maggot and you've pressed E, that usually opens eDiff for you. And if you happen to know how it works, it's amazing. But if you do not know how it works, the interface is a little ugh. It's a lot to take in at the moment. And
same thing, it's awful. EDebug. I mean, you know, you have to like know A, B, W.
I can never remember which one is the lower and which one is the upper. Like, it constantly goes in different directions, and I can never remember which is the commit I'm trying to merge, which is the commit I'm currently being on. It's always a... And it has nothing to do with the Git. It's merely Git and the way they conceive this. And probably there might be a very nice way to remember it, but I still haven't found it after 10 years as a software developer. So I guess I'll need to dig a little deeper. But what I find lovely about the approach is that for you, working on the interface to those tools is actually something that allows you to discover how they work, but also how to make it more easy for people to understand how those tools work. So you're doing the work of understanding, of digesting a lot of the commands, so that people do not have to go through the same pain as you have. So I find this a very noble endeavor in a way.
In so many ways, as perhaps I've mentioned in my talk, I'm getting older. I can't remember all these damn commands, and my hand dexterity is failing. I mean, there's so many, like, you know, multiple keystroke bindings, which I absolutely loathe. You know, at most, I can only physically handle, like, you know, two characters, three maybe, right, at a time. So maybe that's just me, but, and others, you know, may feel differently, but at the same time, the work that I've invested here has been very personal for me, because I just don't want to work that hard, and I want to keep using Emacs.
Yeah, and that's, again, a very good endeavor, I think, to have. And there's one last thing that I'd like to mention, because you've mentioned this project of yours, Casual, being some kind of summer of code, with the implication that you've worked a whole lot of it during the summer or during this period, and perhaps... investment will die down a little bit now, but I think it's completely fine, you know, to have moments when you feel particularly excited and you do a lot of work, and sometimes it dies down a little bit. You know, personally, I've 4 years ago, I was working a lot on Orgrome, and I had my summer of code on Orgrome, and that was great. I was able to do a lot of things, to get a lot of things out of my head. But eventually, you know, you have to go make some money to survive, or you have to take care of family and stuff like this. So life tends to get in the way of your hobbies, especially when, you know, it's hobbies that involve so much of your time to get things right, like programming does. But, you know, we appreciate all the work you've done, Charles, and the fact that you've put it out there for people to enjoy. It's already a victory. You don't need to feel compelled to keep working on it, because ultimately, as you said, the beauty of open source is that people can just send PRs and get the project going again.
Yeah. I mean, and if anything, you know, folks have expressed to me that, you know, in many ways, a lot of this stuff should be, you know, sort of folded in the core. And, you know, I would love to see at least the ideals of, or at least an openness into rethinking the interface for Emacs. So, you know, it doesn't have to be basically work the way it worked for basically the last half of the 20th century here. Emacs is flexible enough to have different approaches, and you know, transient is one approach, but at the same time, you know, the ability to reimagine the user interface for you know, the computing needs, you know, for basically users' needs today, whether you write or code or anything of that nature, I think is an exciting and great thing.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for this conclusion. So I'm a little sorry, because sadly we needed to move the stream to the next talk, so we've lost about 20 seconds of what you said. But don't worry, whatever you've said will be available on the website. I didn't want to interrupt, sadly, because I didn't want to be rude. But
no worries.
But I think we did a great job answering the questions, so thank you so much for taking the time. I'll need to get going, because we might have a problem with the next talk. So thank you so much, Charles.
And certainly. Take care. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Bye.